101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Mike and McCarty. I love this. This gets my juices going. Economic development news, Chancellor of Bossier Parish Community College, Rick Bateman in studio with us, along with Justin Dixon from the North Louisiana Economic Partnership. And I'm going to let you guys share. Tell me what's going on out at Bossier Parish Community College.
Absolutely. So, first of all, good morning.
Morning,
good to
Justin.
See you. Been a minute.
Thanks for coming out.
Absolutely. Last year we hired an existing industry manager, and his goal, his mission is to go to existing industry, see where their challenges are, see where their opportunities are, see what we could do to help. And he came to me and he said, hey, I've got this great idea. We can build what's in essence an industrial boot camp. And this is what industry is asking for. And so we got with Dr. Bateman and the team at BPSI and said, hey, is this possible? And you know, if you know Rick, he'll say yes before he even looks at the question.
Right. I love that.
And Rick and his team have put this together, and I'll let Rick talk a little bit about it. But basically, it's an opportunity for individuals to get training over a six-week period and get guaranteed interviews at the end of that six-week period with companies like SLB, with companies like Pratt Industries, Bienville Lumber, Red Ball Oxygen, Frymaster, Martin Specialty Coatings. I mean, these are great, up to $21 an hour. Ooh. Careers. This is not jobs. This is careers.
After a six-week training program.
Absolutely.
Okay. Rick, what's the training program entail at BPSI?
So it's a hands-on training program. We've got state-of-the-art equipment out there. We built this curriculum with business and industry. So they've signed off on everything. Folks that participate in this program are going to earn up to 12 industry-based certifications over that six-week period. So it's third-party validated. It's not just us saying, hey, we'll teach you some stuff. We're verifying that they've got the knowledge, skills, and abilities to succeed on day one in these great careers.
Okay, your demographic. Who you looking to train? Is it people right out of high school? Is it people that maybe want to change careers? All of the above.
All of the above. We really think that this is a program that works for a young person coming straight out of high school. We can get them where they need to go in that 6 weeks. But this is also for folks that just want to, you know, really want to stop doing two part-time jobs and get a career, right? Or somebody that is retiring from one thing and wants to do something else. These are great companies within our region, and we're excited to partner with NLEP to make it happen.
So close to Barksdale, people that coming out of the military, this is something that's a perfect opportunity to transition into the private workforce.
100%. You know, BPSI's been a military-friendly college for 15 years in a row, and it's because we embrace those transitioning airmen and their trailing spouses and all those folks, and we would love to see some of those people take on this program.
Now, this is not free training, but you've got it set up to where anybody is going to be able to take advantage of this.
We've got 19 companies that have agreed to do guaranteed interviews, and some of them have also provided scholarships. We've secured a grant. So we've got financial aid to cover anybody that's willing to put their own skin in the game. Their skin is the time, energy, and effort to show up for 6 weeks, for 8 hours a day. We're gonna launch careers with these people.
Okay, folks who want to find out more information, you're having an open house tomorrow. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, so that will be on the Bossier Parish campus. It's at the theater, correct, at 5:30. And we're going to have some of these companies represented. They're going to talk about the program, talk about the commitment to the students as well as the interviews. So if you want to know more about this program, please be there tomorrow night, 5:30, Bossier Parish Theater. And also you can go to BPSI, BPCC.com, and at the top you'll see it flashing across Empower.
EDU.
BPCC.edu.
That's right. Sorry.
If you Google Bossier Parish Community
you
College,
find it.
It'll get you there.
Now, I have a question with regard to any specific requirements for participants. Are there some hoops they have to jump through, some things they need to meet?
So, yeah, there is a drug test that's a part of it. And so, but the college is picking up the cost of that, so we've removed that barrier as well. So the biggest thing is you've got to commit to coming to the program and being engaged 8 hours a day for 6 weeks, and we'll change your life.
Can y'all stay with us? Because I want to talk about the jobs and the job labor force in our area when we come back.
Absolutely.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Very exciting news. Bossier Parish Community College Chancellor Rick Bateman, along with Justin Dixon in studio, Mike and McCarty. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. Sure.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Micah McCarty in studio, Justin Dixon, North Louisiana Economic Partnership, and Dr. Rick Bateman from Bossier Parish Community College, the chancellor there. Now, fellas, there's a lot of people that say, you know what, there's just not an available workforce in Shreveport-Bossier. How are you going to fill these classes? Justin, let's start with you. Let's talk numbers, because there are some companies that would argue with that.
And so, you know, we went back and looked at the numbers of what they committed to. So, Amazon, some people think it's still not going to get built. Kid you not. You know, just let's, it's never going to happen here, right?
Guess what, it's built.
They committed to 1,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you, how many do you think are filled?
600.
Yep. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I said about 1,500.
Yeah, 2,200 people currently employed on as we speak.
Okay, are you counting the robots?
No, absolutely not.
Now, those are humans.
Those are human beings.
Human workers.
Yes. So then you go to Fiberbond. You had a major expansion a couple year and a half ago. Over the past 4 years, they've doubled their workforce to close to 1,000 employees. And these people are making $75,000, $80,000 a year.
Ooh.
Then you take Prolec GE. We did a big expansion with them a couple years back. They committed to 153 jobs. They've hired 275. And then you go SLB. SLB committed to 596, 597, 80,000 fully loaded, plus or minus. They are up over 800.
Wow.
I mean, okay. People want to work here. Good things are happening here. We just need to go look for them.
Now, here's my question. When you tell me all these numbers,
yep,
are these local people that just were underemployed and they realized, hey, I could go work at Amazon or I could go work at Prolec? Or are we piping these people in from elsewhere?
Both.
Okay.
Both. We actually have people that I've met that have moved here. I think the number was somewhere around 20 to 30 people from SLB moved into the area. It's upskilling. It's getting better careers, better jobs. We are the hub city here, so people come from all around. They work here. They spend here. But, you know, here's the other thing. You just take those four, and we've had a lot more projects that we've worked on since I've been here.
That's only four.
That's just four. That's close to $250 million in new payroll into the region.
Wow.
So,
wow.
And we've seen some of the other data.
Local grocery stores.
Yes, and absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Bateman, this Empower program that y'all are kicking off this month, you have the open house tomorrow. It's a 6-week program that you're guaranteeing that these folks that are participating are going to get interviews with some of these big companies.
That's what every single one of these companies that signed on to Empower have as sponsors for the program.
Now, it's not just this 1 6-week program. After this 6 weeks is gone, which starts August 18th, right?
That's right. August 18th is the next cohort, and the one following that is October the 13th.
And you're going to keep doing them?
Every 6 weeks. We're going to keep cranking them out. We've got to. The demand is just that significant.
That was my question. These folks, these businesses need workers. And why not train them here?
Yeah. And we've got people in our community that need these jobs, need these careers as well. So we like to say that everybody within the sound of our voice knows someone that could benefit from this program. So if it's mm-hmm. not you, you know somebody. Get them to the Bipsy Theater tomorrow night at 5:30 so they can learn about this program and we can launch a career for them.
And Dr. Bateman from Bossier Parish Community College. You said you've invested in equipment. Tell us about some of the type training that people can look forward to doing.
So up to 12 industry based that the folks participating will earn include things like OSHA safety. NCCER basic core. Teach them how to operate certain equipment. You name it. It's all of the core training that helps to get somebody ready to go on day one. A lot of times, these companies that Justin just mentioned, a lot of times they had to do this training of folks on their own. They had to hire them and train them. This is pre-employment training. So we're building a talent pipeline for these companies and we're saving them a significant amount of money in the process.
So after this 6 weeks, they can step in and start work.
100%.
At these companies. 100%. That's awesome.
There is a little bit of an elephant in the room. I'll say there's a baby elephant in the room. How do you go 6 weeks and go to training and not earn income during the 6 weeks? What do people do to fill that gap?
Absolutely. It is a challenge. One of the things that Rick and his team are looking at are doing some off-schedule type training. We've done that in the past where maybe we can do it at night, do it the weekends. The first thing we've got to do is get this thing going. It's a commitment. There's mm-hmm. no doubt about it. But if you'd have told me I can make $21 an hour, I could stand on my head. And I understand it's a challenge, mm-hmm. but I'll stand on my head for 6 weeks to be able to get to that.
Okay.
We do understand that that's a barrier. We're also working with, and NLEP helps us with this. They've helped us to build relationships with the workforce investment boards. They've got funding that can assist with things like transportation, can assist with things like childcare. And we've got individuals from those boards that will be at our event tomorrow evening to talk about those sorts of support services.
So if you can make it the 6 weeks, you're pretty much headed for a pretty good career.
Absolutely.
Great paying job with benefits. You get to stay in the region.
Tomorrow night's the open house. Tell us when and where.
5:30, Bossier Parish Community College, Bipsy Theater. More information on our website, bpcc.edu. There's a banner right at the top. Click on it and tell you everything you need to know.
Thank you, guys. Great stuff.
This is great news. Thanks for coming out. We appreciate
Thanks
it
for having
so much.
Thank you.
Justin Dixon, Dr. Rick Bateman, Bossier Parish Community College, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So have you talked to Ruben yet?
I have not.
This week?
I have not. I've kind of left him alone. He's just chilling, so I'm hoping he's having a good week, just relaxing.
If he didn't have something to do, he can get his butt back in here.
You're doing all right over there. You haven't lost a toe yet. The clock's ticking.
Yeah. What would Curly say in City Slickers? Hey, Curly, kill anybody yet today?
They ain't over yet.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're doing a pretty good job. Yeah. Last year, Ruben lost vacation because he didn't take it.
Right.
So I told him this year, I said, that's not going to happen anymore. Yeah. You're going to take your vacation. So whether it's go on a trip or just chill.
Generally, I'm the same way. I don't take time off really, but this year I've had to because of, you know,
stuff happening.
East Texas and my daughter and blah, 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 blah. Usually at the end of the year, we're all like, I got to get a weekend.
I know. We're scrambling to take time off. I'm hoping to take a week off here in the next few weeks so I can get one of mine in.
And yeah.
So I'm not scrambling to take 2 weeks off at Christmas. So, but you never know. You never know. Yeah. I get mine in. Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust and believe. I get mine in.
You get your 8 weeks in. I know. well, hopefully he's having a restful, relaxful time. Chances are he's not hearing us at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not. I do want to thank you and slap you in the face because I got asked by somebody yesterday, do you really drive a Bentley? They saw me pull up in my car and said, now, do you really have a Bentley? And you know what I told him? I said, the Bentley's not my daily driver.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Hey, my mic's on over here.
What?
I sure do.
Nobody can hear me.
Never talk about your dating life off the air.
Chica from K94.
You know what I will talk about on the air? Is that I've been looking it up, Mike. I already looked up how to properly wax somebody.
Oh, no.
Because I want to make sure that my girl doesn't get hurt, right? Comfort at Avalon Hair Salon, comfort is number one, okay? Also,
there's a couple of people at Avalon that, you know, I'm not letting wax me. I'm just saying.
Well, surprise,
What's this Steve Carell movie? The
40-year-old, you're next. We're waxing your chest after this.
Oh, you're not.
Ooh,
Absolutely ooh. Not. I'll let you do my back.
It's for charity.
I agreed to some dumb thing letting Chica cut my hair tomorrow.
It's part of Chica Tries, and let me explain.
All right, well, let me ask you this before you go.
Yeah.
What about ears?
Oh, I would love. I watch the pimple popping videos, and I watch ear cleaning videos.
Oh.
Oh, I love all that. I put on gloves, and I just...
Oh, no, stop.
My daughter loves that.
People are eating breakfast right now, y'all. Stop.
I'm sorry. I love those videos. Anyway.
Disgusting. So have you ever cut hair before?
Absolutely not.
Do you have a clue how to do this?
No,
I have very curly hair.
Here's the problem. Look at how I dress. People call me, and look how I do my hair. People call me Minnie McCarty.
I know.
Because our talents are equal.
So our talents are equal. Did she just say that out loud?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not talking about on the radio. I could never compete with you, my sweet, sweet girl. Because I'm better than you ever were at this age.
So, okay, yeah, whatever.
Anyway.
Call me when you have 40 years in, all right?
Yeah. That won't happen.
Dang, guys.
But we
dang.
Do. We ponytail, we cash dress every day.
Well,
because
you're
I
in
don't
radio.
Think people get it.
You're not in TV.
I don't care how early you wake up. 4 o'clock hits you hard.
Yeah, it does.
Even if you go to bed at 8.
I don't care if you go to bed at 6 o'clock
correct.
In the evening.
Mm-hmm. When I first,
4 o'clock is damned early.
Correct. When I first came to work here, I didn't work mornings. And I remember, I'm not going to lie, I judged y'all. I was like, why do the women dress like this? Don't they put a little... Man, it took me a week. It took me a week to now it's like sometimes where I'm like, I know I have a big meeting. I got to extra dress up or have like hair stuff mm-hmm. on. All that to say, I found out how
I
to put
judged
on.
Judged y'all.
You guys have. No. Have you that's seen true. How fast I could get ready, though?
Yeah, on
days
you're pretty,
where on days
quick.
Where I got to be on TV or on days where I got something, you'll see me in here throwing my face on. Doing my hair as fast as I can. So I think I got it down like Speedy Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
Ayo. But as far as doing it on other people, this is going to be a challenge. Because let's be real. When's the last time you had a makeover?
It's been a minute.
I'm also bringing an outfit and everything for you because
oh,
we are going
God.
To completely. Have you seen She's All That?
Yes.
I'm Freddie Prinze Jr. And you're my little patient. What do you think? My little project.
And we're going to go to lunch like that?
Yeah.
Do I have to shave my legs?
You should. You should. I'm bringing you one of my cleavage shirts.
A cleavage shirt?
Yeah, and we may not have to tip. We may not have to buy our lunch.
Wow.
It's also my birthday, so you have to do what I want.
Yeah.
So it's part of the deal.
Indulge Chica for a day?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I asked you. I said, hey, for my birthday, would you do something for me? And I do appreciate you. But I just feel like this makeover is going to be just wonderful and tremendous. And if I do make you look like a lady of the night, the girls will fix it.
Heavy rouge and heavy, what,
oh
eyeliner?
God.
What do you mean?
I want to tell you a secret.
Uh-oh.
I have never in my life, and boy, my friend Grace Ann is going to be pissed.
Oh, crap.
I have never worn fake eyelashes.
Oh, I can't
ever,
wait.
ever.
You know what?
It's
neither
pretty
have
common.
I.
You haven't?
No, neither have I.
Yeah. With it's all pretty... the crazy things that you do on stage, they've never put fake eyelashes on?
I've never
on.
Had fake eyelashes.
Have they put
I've
on
worn
eye...
tights.
Ooh, tights.
Oh, yeah, I've had eyeliner. I mean, you have to have eyeliner
yeah.
a lot of times in large theaters.
Mm.
If you don't put makeup on, you get your face just gets washed out.
Okay, so I'm not going to do that to you.
Okay, good.
But I just feel like... I feel like the world needs to see Erin McCarty for what I could make her. These women at Avalon Hair Salon don't know what's hitting them. They're going to look at me and they're going to be like, dang, I want to be a stylist just like Chica. I'm out there inspiring.
I hope they know a tornado's coming tomorrow.
These are trained professionals. These are trained professionals she's talking about.
Oh,
you
yeah.
guys are forgetting that this
and
is
somebody
the,
who's never done it.
This is
come
the
in and
ultimate
teach them.
Birthday experience, and no one's gonna ruin it for me. Not you. Not even those little ladies that. I do have to listen to them. But
yeah. I just got a text on where I report cosmetology complaints to. Just FYI.
We got this all cleared, by the way. I'm not going to be doing anything that one is illegal that I would have needed training for, et cetera.
Right. So, yeah, we're clear.
And you have to have licenses.
I don't think I'm able to like actually cut your hair, but I found a workaround.
Oh, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. It's for charity. Mm-hmm. It's a charity event. Mm-hmm. I'm going to donate $10 to something.
Humane Society of Northwest Louisiana.
There you go. Yeah,
that'll work.
Girl. I got you, boo. Look, I'm looking out for you. I just feel like you're not ready for how, and we have less than an hour to make you look good.
So, I sure wish I could be there, but if you're doing it at 10 o'clock, I can't.
Oh, we're filming it all, though. Like, we got our crew there that it's going to be a big to do.
Here's my problem, Chica. It's going to take an hour maybe to do it all, but and then we go out to lunch, and then I'm going to have to go back to Avalon. And it's going to take 2 hours to undo it all.
Okay, first off, you don't know that it's going to be bad. Ye of little faith. Here I am calling you to have the faith of a mustard seed. The fact that you don't believe in me as much as I believe in each one of you. That says more about you guys than it does about me. That's all I'm saying. Here I am going into this saying, Lord, use me as your vessel. And then you're over here going, no. You're going to mess me up. That's not the mentality to have. If you walk in thinking you're going to look like a 10 cent, that's what you're going to look like. But if you walk in going, I'm going to be like the next Bachelorette.
Yeah.
That's what after this, men are going to be in your DMs. Because
they already
of me,
are.
They're in my DMs every day.
Because it's of me, creepy. We're going to be able to catfish some fools.
Okay, here, I have two rules. I've added a new rule,
by
the way.
You can't add new rules.
My one rule is all waxing is above the waist.
That's lame.
Okay. And the second rule is there's no high heels. That's not happening.
Oh, I don't wear high heels.
Okay, good.
Look at this body.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying. So
I'll trip on a curb and break a knee.
Okay. How far can we actually go? Because tomorrow's the big day.
I'm game. You can color my hair blue.
I don't care. This is going to be the best.
You know what? I wish I could be there.
Last year, I didn't do anything for my birthday. And so this year, I was like, I'm just going to have the best birthday ever. And it is shaping out to be, I'm going to have the most epic lunch because I'm going to be looking over at her. Did y'all ever watch the Drew Carey show?
Yes.
No. Y'all remember Mimi?
Oh. Get out of here.
Yeah, you look so sexy.
Bye, Chica.
Oh my gosh. Hold on. I got to show you a picture of Mimi during the break.
Get out of here, Chica. Bye.
We got a pickleball update from County Parish Commissioner John Atkins going to join us after the news top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Micah McCarty. Apparently, all is well. No wrecks reported right now. But if you run across some slow traffic, call that traffic hotline, 687-7623.
More of the same hot, dry weather to continue on here next several days. We're going to hold on to sunshine here today. Temperatures on par with the daily average of 96. Low tonight falls to 75 with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday, sunshine, high temperatures in the forecast climbing to 97. Richard DeWedding at the Weather Channel.
Get big interviews and big stories.
What's going on in Shreveport and Bossier City? You can hear all the latest information with Mike and McCarty each weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m.
Only on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Agriculture Department has allowed 6 additional states to bar participants in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program from using their benefits to buy certain processed foods, such as sodas and candy. SNAP participants in West Virginia, Florida, Colorado, Louisiana, Oklahoma, and Texas will lose access to junk food in 2026. The Swiss government has held an emergency cabinet meeting and announced it will present Washington with a more attractive offer to reduce tariffs before they take effect. If the country does not agree to a trade deal, Swiss goods will be hit with 39% tariffs in the U.S. starting August 7th. Yum Brands has reported quarterly earnings and revenue that missed analyst expectations. Pizza Hut and KFC reported U.S. same-store sales declines. Meanwhile, Taco Bell reported same-store sales growth of 4%. Futures are slightly higher. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 585. The NASDAQ up 403. That's Your Money Now.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay. You order obviously from Amazon, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When they first started talking about the Amazon facility,
mm-hmm.
when my daughter lived in Dallas, they had the Amazon trucks. They have those Amazon trucks that run, and a lot of those are electric.
Oh yeah.
Excuse me. Run all over Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those things you can order and get it same day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we got the facility here, I'm thinking, this is awesome. We're going to get the trucks here. We're going to be able to get stuff. Delivery is worse now than it was before.
I'm rarely getting next day. I used to be able to get next day.
If I have something delivered to my studio, delivery time, 5:15. I'm like, wait, no. What?
5:15, what do you mean?
The estimated delivery time.
Oh, like if you're supposed to get the time it on of
Tuesday.
Day.
Yeah, 5:15 to 7:15. Well, that doesn't do me any good.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like it was better when they used UPS.
Yeah. I'm still waiting on something I ordered over a week ago.
Really?
Yeah, over a week ago, I'm waiting on it. Now, it's a silly little, like, a broom thing, but I'm...
Yeah.
I don't know why some things take a week, some things are 2 days. I'm not getting too much next day anymore. I really am not, I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why has delivery gotten worse since we've got the big Amazon facility, which I love, by the way. I'm glad it's here.
Right.
I'm glad the jobs are here. I'm glad they've invested in our community.
Well, this is just a fulfillment center. So this is not a final delivery operation. You know, this is just a get the boxes to the delivery companies. And we don't have trucks from here that are delivering stuff.
Yeah, we do. We have Amazon trucks.
I don't think we do. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
Somebody correct. Okay. I thought this was just a fulfillment center where it was going from here to the delivery companies.
We've got the Amazon trucks now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And sometimes they're rental trucks.
Oh, wow.
Because I guess they haven't gotten all the trucks they need here.
It was amazing to hear Justin Dixon yesterday tell us that the Amazon plant now has 2,200 workers.
Physical human beings.
Yeah, that wasn't counting the robots.
Right.
They were supposed to have 1,000 workers. They've now more than doubled that.
That's awesome.
And their starting pay is, I think, $17 an hour, maybe higher. So to hear that they have more than doubled the jobs, that's really good news.
Yeah.
Really good news. And that's, you know, I don't know that that's a complete home buying wage, but it's darn close.
Yeah.
If you have a spouse that's also working, then they're in the area of buying a house and settling down and you know, bringing roots here. So
we talked about pickleball yesterday. Aaron, this is odd to me that the Caddo Parish Commission is not billing this as a park. It's not just pickleball.
Yeah, they need to flip this, because the script on this is that part of town doesn't have a park.
And this is way more than pickleball.
Yeah.
Commissioner way more than pickleball. John Atkins going to join us after the news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish Commissioner John Atkins joining us. John, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for
jumping
on the line with us this morning. Look, Aaron and I were talking earlier. I've got a question. This pickleball complex, as we've been talking about, is much, much more than just pickleball. This is going to be a full-fledged, full-blown park in an area of town that doesn't have a park, soccer fields, walking trails, oh yeah, and 20 pickleball courts. Why hasn't it been billed as a park instead of just pickleball?
Well, you raise a very good point, Mike, and that was just fleshed out in more detail in yesterday's Economic Development Committee meeting, and I think it's an important aspect of this discussion. As you mentioned, Southeast Caddo, the one of the fastest growing parts of our community, has no parish parks, has no parish walking trails, and has no parish entertainment or sports facilities.
And no city park either, to be quite blunt.
That's true. No city park. So this would be an opportunity to offer those services to a part of the community that, frankly, pays a disproportionate share of the property taxes and, frankly, should be able to benefit from some of the revenue generated. But, when I originally looked at this project, or when it originally came up, I heard, $10 million for pickleball courts, and I was... I reacted negatively to that concept. I guess I'm just conservative by nature and I'm concerned whenever I hear about large numbers like that. But if we take a step back and kind of look at it in context, there are really kind of two key questions I ask myself. I'm like, well, can we afford this project and should we afford it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the can aspect first, can we afford it? You know, I looked back at our financials from 2024, and the parish had $135 million in revenues in 2024 and $119 million in expenses. So we had an improvement on our balance sheet of $16 million, and we had similar numbers like that in 2023. So, you know, we've got some new reserves that we've added to the balance sheet lately, and the parish is in strong financial condition. As you all know, we are AA+ rated.
Sure.
We were AAA rated, but then a couple of years ago we were bumped back to AA+ not because of the condition of our financials, but because of our declining population and the rating agencies were concerned.
John, you asked some real valid questions during that economic meeting yesterday, which I was watching, and it sounded like, and I'm paraphrasing, it sounded to me like you were saying to your colleagues, are we building a Tesla when we should be building a Toyota? Is that one of your primary concerns?
Well, I think we want to focus on quality no matter which way we go. But to me, I don't want to build excess capacity. I'm concerned that we're building a facility that will be sized to meet a demand that may only happen on those 5 or 10 days a year where we have a big tournament. We're looking at 1,000 seat, what do they call it, championship court,
mm-hmm.
And 500 parking spaces. You know, frankly, that seems a bit excessive to me. You know, I just encourage the Parks and Recreation team to really, really screw down on that, on those numbers, and make sure we're not overbuilding capacity.
But couldn't that argument be said about Independence Stadium? Well, we're only going to use it once a year. Why do we need all this?
Yeah, you know, well, that's kind of sunk cost. So I'm not going to go into that battle with you. But, yeah, I think that's probably true for any
but we're grateful we have it now.
Any stadium. Yeah. But it's true for any stadium, I think. So it's hard to dollar all those out.
John, John Adkins, Caddo Parish Commissioner, let me ask you about the math. Because a lot of people are saying that, you know, what if the pickleball doesn't bring the money back in? What happens then? Yeah. And let's fix the streets. Let's fix the streets with this money, which we all know you can't do with revenue bond money. But what if the pickleball doesn't generate and bring back the $10
million? Okay, well, you raised another good point, Aaron. These are revenue bonds, and revenue bonds by their nature are intended to be paid off by the project that they are used to finance. And we have had an economist run the numbers on this. A study was done, a centenary economist ran the numbers, and the economist indicates that the revenue from this project at a 40% utilization should pay both the debt service and the cost of maintenance. I ran my own back of the envelope numbers to make sure that I was comfortable with those calculations, and indeed they do seem to foot. And so at a 40% utilization, it looks like it would pay the debt service and the maintenance. The key is, will we have a 40% utilization? And no one knows that. You know, we've all invested in projects, and you know, sometimes they come in better than we expect, and sometimes they come in less than we expect. But if it works as designed, the users of the facility will pay for this debt through their user fees at the courts. If it doesn't work out, if utilization is not high enough and we don't pay it out, then in my mind there's offsetting economic advantages from the tournament play that's expected and the travel play that's expected. That will lead to additional hotel use and additional restaurant use. Mm-hmm. that'll inject additional revenue into our parish economy that would help to offset any loss there. And if worse comes to worse, then we have about $3.5 to $5 million in oil and gas revenue that comes in each year. Now that's a very, very volatile number, but let's just call it, you know, $3 million, the low end. That will more than cover the operating costs and financing costs of this project. So, you know, I don't see it getting into our tax base. I think we're safe. I think we can clearly afford the project, and it's not going to endanger the parish or its financial stability moving forward.
Can you stay with us? I have some other questions about the money and the other things that are going to be included in this park.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
John Adkins, Caddo Parish Commissioner on the line. Mike and McCarty will be back after the break. 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish Commissioner John Adkins joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, talking about the new proposed park. Southeast Shreveport, mm-hmm. which does not have a Caddo Parish Park or City Park.
Right.
And we've been talking about this as a pickleball complex, but it's much more than just pickleball.
It includes all kinds of other amenities. I have a couple of questions, because earlier on we were told the Y would manage this and maintain it. I heard yesterday that the parish will maintain it, and that they will be Caddo Parish employees that will be stationed there. Did I miss something in the contract? What happened here?
Well, Aaron, let me first say that all of this is in the development stages, and we're still working through the details. The $10 million number, it's implied that that's the cost, but actually that's just the amount of money that we're proposing to raise from the bond market. The full cost, you know, the actual cost has not yet been fully assessed, and the final the final design has not yet been fully assessed. So hopefully it would actually come in at less than that number. But to your question, my understanding of the situation is that the YMCA would provide employees, through their, or in association with their facility, that would be just 100 yards away. And those employees would be, the YMCA would be compensated by the parish for those employees.
Okay.
And with respect to the land, the as it's currently being discussed, the YMCA would contribute the land. They would still own it, but they would contribute it to the project through a long-term lease that would charge what's been represented as a nominal fee.
Okay.
Hopefully that's very small annual fee.
Now, the fees that would be generated for user fees, all Caddo Parish, anybody in the area can go use the pickleball complex, but it would be a user fee base like some other pickleball complexes. But to go use the walking trail and the other amenities would be free, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And do we know anything about the fee structure yet?
I'm hearing $10 to $12 an hour per player. $10 to $12 per player per hour.
Okay.
Now, you said there's also going to be two soccer fields in the park. And is that going to be...
I did not mention that, but you're right. That was mentioned in yesterday's meeting, but that's the first I'd actually heard of the soccer fields.
Now, is this going to be in conjunction with any organized efforts as well?
Yes. The parish, as you know, has numerous... recreational programs, numerous sports programs that they facilitate, or I should say that we facilitate. So we would have our resources focusing on pickleball programs, both for the youth and adults. But the Y would also help to facilitate that and help facilitate usage. Their members would also use the facility. And then the pickleball, the parish has been working with I believe it's called the Pickleball Association of America to also fold their programs into the facility to ensure more use.
The some of the folks that are supporting it are telling me that it's going to be way more than 4 or 5 days a year that these tournaments will be here, that it's going to be many, many times a year. Are you hopeful for that? Do we have guarantees or any kind of promises?
There's no guarantees. The various pickleball associations have all been very supportive, as you would expect they would. I mean, they'd get the benefit without the cost, so they're, of course, going to be supportive and encouraging. But I've not seen any guarantees, and I'm not sure that they actually have the ability to provide us with guarantees.
Well, from what we have heard, the nearest facilities are either in Des Moines, Iowa, or in Florida. So we're in kind of a desert area as far as tournaments are, available. So I think, John, I got to tell you, I think this sounds like a no-brainer to me with soccer.
I'm glad you're supportive, Mike. As I said initially, I had my concerns, but the more I dig into the situation, the more I think it's a really good opportunity for the parish.
You are a fiscal hawk. We often talk about quality of life, things that matter, that can make a difference. Explain to us, John Atkins, what other kinds of projects these revenue bonds could be used for. They can only be used on projects that will generate revenue. Give us other examples.
Well, the park up in North Caddo, Jacobs Park,
Walter B. Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. Walter B. Jacobs Park, that has some user fee associated with it as well, and also some programs around facilities, rentals for banquets and things like that. So those projects also have a revenue bond component to it, but they won't generate the kind of consistent revenue that this pickleball park is projected to generate.
But you could also, and this is what people are screaming and hollering about the cost, about $10 million, you could also not spend the money and just not use the revenue bonds. And then what happens to that? Explain that. It's kind of misty out there.
Well, we just haven't, as I understand it, it must have been the rating agencies that gave the parish kind of the permission to raise up to $30 million of revenue bonds. So we've raised $20 million that we used for Walter B. Jacobs and other projects. But this would be to fill that gap to raise the additional 10. So I'm sorry, Aaron, I lost track of your question.
Essentially, you don't have to spend the revenue bond money, but does it go away? So, does it go away if you don't?
Yeah. So we just wouldn't issue those bonds. We wouldn't borrow the money for an additional project. I mean, it's not like it's free money. It's kind of like a line of credit. And we have the option to go up to an additional $10 million in our line of credit. If we don't use that line of credit in our business, you know, we don't pull down the money and we don't pay interest on the money. So if the parish did not execute on this additional revenue bond capacity, we just would not take on the additional debt. We wouldn't build the project, and we wouldn't have the principal and interest payments to pay.
Okay, our last minute. What's the status of the vote? When is a planned vote on this? Where are we headed now?
Let's see. Well, it got submitted back to the full body by the Economic Development Committee, and then it'll be brought up in late August, and then I think the final vote will be in early September. And as far as where the votes lie, it's going to be close. It's pretty tight right now. You know, people haven't come out with their full positions, and some people are keeping the cards pretty close to their vest, but it looks like it's going to be a close bet. We have to get 7 to carry the project. Mm-hmm. And, we'll have to see if we can get there.
You bet.
I'm glad you seem to be in favor of it, and we appreciate your time this morning, John.
Thank you, Mike, and thank you, Aaron. I appreciate y'all's time.
You bet. Thanks.
John Atkins, right, Caddo Parish Commissioner, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
I want to take just a moment and remember Shreveport Police Officer Thomas LaValle. You said this is the 10th anniversary.
God, yeah, I can't believe that.
I can't either. Wow.
10 years ago, he was shot and killed while on duty responding to a call. Grover Cannon was eventually caught after a manhunt and was convicted of killing him and sentenced to life in prison. We just take a minute. It's a tough day for SPD. I think they're having a blood drive today, too. If you want to help, you can look it up online. And okay. SPD, just look at their SPD Facebook page, in honor of Thomas. You know, you may remember him worked at Channel 3 for a long time and then decided he wanted to be a police officer and went to the academy, got his certification, and then became a cop. And tragically lost his life on this date in 2015, and may he rest in peace, and prayers for his family today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up after the break, we're going to talk, there's some changes in SNAP benefits.
Mm-hmm.
That are they official now? Or they're
not till 2026, but we've gotten the waiver. Yep.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
So proposed changes then to go into effect in 2026 for SNAP benefit recipients.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they're going to have work requirements.
Well, this is really not that. This is really what you can buy with SNAP.
Okay.
Louisiana was one of several states asking for a waiver from the Agriculture Department on the rules for SNAP and what you could and couldn't buy. And yesterday, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, along with Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., sat down and signed the waiver for Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida, Colorado, and West Virginia, which now means that you cannot use SNAP benefits to buy sodas, energy drinks, or candy. Now, the rules don't go into effect until 2026. The governor praised this waiver, saying that this will help make Louisiana residents healthier. And I didn't realize, Mike, that if I were to ask you SNAP benefits, how much of it is used to buy snacks and sodas, it's 10%. At least 10% of the SNAP benefits are used for essentially junk food and sodas. Right.
I'm surprised it's that low.
Yeah, you got a point.
So when you say a waiver, what is, if there were restrictions that were going to be enacted, what is the, why is there a waiver?
I'm not sure why they called it a waiver. It was like, we want to, essentially, here's the federal rules.
Right.
That people can use. You want a waiver in your state so you can change those rules.
Okay.
So Louisiana wanted a waiver so that we could kick snacks, candies, and sodas off of the list of approved items. And so Louisiana was granted the waiver along with several other states. And now people that want to buy snacks and sodas and et cetera will have to pay cash. It's just one of those. It's the big Make America Healthy Again initiative. And that's the thing. People are saying, should we be spending public dollars on unhealthy foods?
On junk food.
On junk food.
Right.
And there are those who say, well, should the government really be telling us what we should and shouldn't eat? But then the opponents will say, but it's government money. It's our tax dollars.
When you say it's government money.
Right. Well, you know what I mean.
It's my money.
Yep.
It's your money.
Mm-hmm.
It's not government money.
Right. And I can, you know, I can buy snacks with my money that I earn on my job. If I want to buy snacks and sodas, I can buy it. But again, the liberal crowd will say people that are poor, should they be punished simply because they're poor and not be able to get snacks for their children? That's the argument. Should poor people be punished and not be able to buy snacks to put in their kids' lunch to take to school or to put in their kids' backpack for a snack during the day? That's the, you know, the bleeding hearts. That's what they're going to tell you. You're punishing poor kids now, and they don't get to have the snacks that the other kids in their classes bring to school.
You know, when it comes to time, you find time to do the things you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
If something is a priority in your life, you find a way. You find a way either to fund it or to make time to do it. You find a way.
Most of us, you're exactly right. But, and again, here's my liberal pants are speaking now, because you know I'm a liberal. What did that man call me the other day? I'm a liberal operative. That's what I am.
A Democratic operative.
Yeah, that's what I am. Okay.
If
you grew up.
We got an email, by the way.
You grew up in a family that was completely dysfunctional, you didn't have parents there that were in your life, maybe you were raised by a grandma or an auntie, and you had nothing. You don't have new shoes when you go back to school next week. You don't have a new backpack. You have hand-me-down stuff. You and I don't know that life. We just don't know it. We cannot envision it.
My sister and I were raised basically by a single mother who worked. We got off the school bus. We let ourselves in the house. We didn't, you know. Now,
but
yeah,
you had
we had
clothes.
Shoes.
You had food.
We had clothes. Yes, but we were poor.
There are kids that don't know where their next meal is coming from.
I understand.
They don't know if they're going to get a meal at night. They get a meal at school, and they're not going to have a meal at night. we just don't know that life. I really don't think we know that life. And so I, you know, that's what the other side will say, that you, you know, y'all don't know, you're in your ivory tower. You don't understand the real life of someone living in poverty. And this is punishing someone really living in poverty. But again, I say that by saying, that's my money. Shouldn't I have a little say on how my money is spent?
Right.
And wouldn't it be better for those kids that are living in poverty to eat healthier food?
Royal Alexander going to be joining us after the news, top of the hour, talking about...
Big Supreme Court and Louisiana congressional maps. Kind of a little new twist to the story.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Okay, that's a great question. You asked me a question during the break.
Mm-hmm.
When we got home from school, was there a TV show that you looked forward to?
Yeah. This is going to age us terribly.
This is going to age us terribly.
Big time. We're sorry. We're sorry. Because it wasn't Seinfeld.
No. Well, no.
For you, what was it?
Well, you got to remember, we had three channels.
Yep, three channels.
Because
right.
You didn't count PBS.
No. No.
Generally, you couldn't get it anyway.
Yeah, unless you stood there holding the rabbit ears with right. The foil on them. Yeah.
You had 3, 6, and 12. On 3 at 3:30 was Dialing for Dollars.
How do you remember the times? Wow.
I don't know. 3:30, it was the 3, but they had a movie that they ran, and usually, and I liked it when it was the scary movies. And by that was the old Universal Frankenstein or, you know, Wolfman movies.
Oh, man.
My favorite was the movie, The Lagoon. Oh, my gosh, I just went blank. And I also loved The Rifleman.
Mine was The Big Valley.
The Big Valley.
Lee Majors to me was like heart. And look, all these people.
You mean Linda Evans?
No, Lee Majors. Linda Evans was cute, but Lee Majors.
Cute?
Lee Majors was just the bomb. But you know, all these people in Yellowstone's got all the, you know, every Yellowstone's innovative. Yellowstone is the Big Valley with sex. I mean, that seriously.
Is there sex in Yellowstone? I've watched a few seasons. I don't remember.
Oh, it's got all kind of sexual stuff and innuendo and all that stuff. Yeah.
I mean, it's got beautiful people.
Yeah, but I mean, Big Valley had beautiful people, and it was clean country out in the, you know, rich people living out. I just loved it.
Every afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Gilligan's Island. Every afternoon after school.
Brady Bunch, too.
Yeah.
It was a big one for me,
yes.
too.
Yes.
Boy, do we sound old. Oh, boy. Yeah. Mm.
Big redistricting. Did you say changes, per se?
Well, the Supreme Court wants some more information about Louisiana's congressional map fight, and they've asked the state to essentially answer a question. I'm not sure what they mean. Royal Alexander is going to join us after 8 o'clock to kind of explain what is this little move from the Supreme Court and what's it mean?
Explain it to me like I'm 7 years old.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL. FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty. U.S. Supreme Court has questions about Louisiana redistricting. That's not easy to say.
Mm-mm.
Local constitutional attorney Royal Alexander joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Royal, explain to me, like I'm 7 years old, what's going on with our redistricting battle?
Absolutely. What we really have is a tension between a federal statute, the Voting Rights Act, and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment. This is really the straightforward reason for this tension. The Voting Rights Act prohibits any kind of election practice that results in a denial or abridgment or dilution of the right to vote. That's the Voting Rights Act. And those people who support the creation of this second black district argue that their votes are diluted because about a third of the state population is black. So of our six congressional seats, they feel numerically they should be entitled to at least two of them. That's the Voting Rights Act argument. However, that really contradicts with the Equal Protection Clause, which doesn't allow for racial gerrymandering. And so drawing a congressional district across the state, like we have now, that kind of looks like a snake, starts in Baton Rouge, goes to Lafayette, Alexandria to Shreveport, that is racial gerrymandering. And I don't really see how this tension gets worked out because, I mean, if a state like Louisiana weighs race too heavily in redistricting, then they violate equal protection. But if they ignore race or weigh it too lightly, then they can be sued for violating the Voting Rights Act. So it's a tough spot.
So how does this compare with what's going on in Texas right now? They're looking to redistrict, what, five districts? The Republicans want to gain five seats.
Well, we've already done it.
Right.
And the Democrats do it all the time. But that's in the state legislature. That's not in Congress. Correct?
That's right. And it's up. And Aaron, that's a great point. Our Constitution gives state legislatures the authority to do things like draw lines and plan the time, place, and manner of elections and things like that. That's actually Article 1 in our Constitution. So, which is why, as a side note, I hope our legislature will go into a special session and include this redistricting as one of the issues, because even though it's ultimately contingent on what the Supreme Court does, I still think Louisiana should move ahead and redraw our maps. I mean, we could just go back to the 2022 maps, because I do think the Supreme Court could have ruled on this and they punted in the last few weeks till, in other words, it won't be in time for 2026. So Representative Fields is going to be able to run again in this same seat, but it will affect 2028. And
there's nothing our legislature can do now in a special session to change the maps in time for the spring. Is that accurate?
I think that's right. And right now, until the Supreme Court decides the case that's pending, it would almost be moot. But I'm a big believer in Louisiana is the state with the authority to do it. Every state has the authority to do this. And Louisiana should move ahead so they can argue, look, whatever the Supreme Court does, we're ready with a correct map.
Help me explain something. Really simple again. There are those, Senator Alan Seabaugh being one of them, who accuse the governor of supporting this current map that drew the lines in favor of Cleo Fields, that he made a deal. The governor cut a deal. And now our attorney general is
before
in the middle
of the gubernatorial election.
Yeah, now our attorney general is in the middle of this fight over. Is that part of this problem too? Is that we have some Republicans who don't agree with each other on the map?
What's interesting is the governor would say, "Well, a federal judge in Baton Rouge was about to draw this map if we didn't." And of course, Senator Seabaugh's response would be, "Right, but you didn't draw it in a way that's compact and contiguous and those things that." Constitutional law requires, at least Supreme Court redistricting requires. So I don't know how much politics played a part in it. It doesn't make sense to me that, in other words, everybody wants proportional representation, but you can't draw a crazy Z or a crazy snake looking thing across the whole state to get it. In other words, enough voters have to live together or close enough to each other to form a fairly compact district. You can't go run it over the state. And again, they tried to say, well, there's political considerations. We wanted to protect Mike Johnson. We wanted to protect Julia Letlow, who's on appropriations, Congresswoman Letlow. But the way to defeat that argument is that in 2022, that map already did all those things. We already had Mike Johnson. Already had Julia Letlow and Steve Scalise.
How can you justify Baton Rouge and Shreveport being in the same district?
I don't think you can. But if you could point to anything, it's like from a demographic standpoint. I mean, they have those chemical plants on the river. We're agricultural. And what does any of this have to do with Lafayette? That's what I'm saying. There's just, to me, no explanation other than that it's a strictly racial gerrymander. And race can be a factor. It just can't be the only factor. And when you look at that snake-looking district that exists right now, I don't see how you conclude anything else but that they drew it to get enough black voters to create a second black district, which the Supreme Court does. So that's the tension. You can't under equal protection, because we're all guaranteed equal protection of the law. So to do a racial gerrymander violates equal protection. But however, the Voting Rights Act says, nope, but you can't dilute minority votes either. So the two contradict each other. And I think there's a chance the Supreme Court may strike down this part of the Voting Rights Act, because, I mean, and he's right. Chief Justice Roberts has said for a long time, it's a sordid business, this divvying us up by race. Mm. I always thought that was such an interesting thing. It's a sordid business, this divvying us up by race, which is really what we're doing here.
Now, we have until the end of this month, I think, to answer the Supreme Court's question, right?
That's right.
But oral arguments are not until October, though.
That's right, which would be too late, I think, for our Secretary of State to get all this ready for 2026, which is why for next year's reelection, and again, Congress is every 2 years, I think it'll be too late to alter it, but 2028 is when it would be altered. But I think this is a major case. Again, Louisiana's right in the middle of it. This will be a land, if the Supreme Court does away with the Voting Rights Act in redistricting, that is a landmark case. Mm. That's a huge case. It'll affect the country.
You bet. Thank you, Royal Alexander. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, take care. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Royal. Coming up here in just about 20 minutes or so, tax increase in Bossier? We'll find out. Chris Smith, Bossier City Council President, going to join us. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
This is too funny. Too funny. I love this.
What?
What we were talking earlier, you had asked me, was there a show when we got home from school, my sister and I would, you know, my mom was at work. And so we let ourselves in, made our own cheese sandwich and
right,
did our homework.
No, you did not.
I never took books home. That explains a lot. But And the first thing that came to my mind was The Rifleman. Well, the first thing was Dialing for Dollars.
Golly.
In Reese. Oh my gosh! Somebody help me out at Channel 3. They had the big wheel, and he'd spin the wheel.
Oh wow!
And they would take callers on television.
Oh man!
And you'd guess and you'd win money. You know, if you were watching the movie.
Is that before Daryl Robuchet used to do Dialing for Dollars he used to do?
He may have picked that up.
Yeah, he used to do one.
This was back in the early 70s.
Yeah.
This was before Daryl.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, of course, Gilligan's Island.
Yes, yes.
Loved Gilligan. And we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. It says, funny you should mention Gilligan's Island. We were watching that at around 3:30, August 16th, 1977, when a scroll came across the bottom of the screen, Elvis Presley dead at 42.
Oh, wow.
Talk about a gut punch.
Oh, man, no kidding.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That's one of those, you remember exactly where you were?
Yeah.
We lived in Cherokee Park in North Shreveport. And I worked overnights at KMBQ. It was an album rock station.
Right.
I was asleep in the chair in the living room. And my sister came in from school and woke me up and goes, Elvis died.
Wow.
Maybe not from school if it was August. She had come in the house.
Yeah.
And she said, Elvis died. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Jeez.
That's one of the, in 42. So you were not expecting it.
Mm. Man.
So.
Unbelievable. An old timer wrote me and said, texted me and said, Reese Bowden.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes.
Golly.
He used to do the Mid-South Wrestling. He was he was one of the MCs for that.
I'll be darned.
Legendary local announcer. Mm. Thank you for
you that. Bet.
I remembered Reese, but he went blank on his last name.
We haven't talked about Bossier in a while. And
generally, they just get it going. They've got it going on.
the pot is starting to bubble and there's a frog in there.
Really?
And I'm not sure if the frog's going to get out of the pot.
They've got a brand new city council.
Brand new city council. The mayor's just reelected for his second term, unopposed. And there might be a little bit of rough water ahead.
Oh. Hmm. You're always going to have... You're going to have disagreements.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. This time, it looks like the council may be on the winning end, and the mayor might be on the losing end. I don't know if you've heard about this kerfuffle yet, but we will dig into it coming up in about 10 minutes.
Chris Smith, Bossier City Councilman, going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I'm going to have to tell Chris Smith, like I told Royal Alexander earlier, explain this to me like I'm 7 years old. Tax increases in Bossier, we'll find out. Bossier City Council Chairman Chris Smith joining us right after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's a showdown in Bossier. How's that?
A little dramatic.
A little dramatic, yeah. Bossier City Council Chairman Chris Smith on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Chris, good morning, sir.
Good. How are we doing this morning?
Good.
We are doing very well. This is in conjunction with a millage renewal. Mayor Chandler wants to renew. Tell me what's going on, and the City Council does not explain to me what's happening.
Yeah, so Mayor Chandler, state law gives us the ability to roll these millages forward as property values go up to capture the whole millage that was voted on. Last year when we had the big value increase, we chose to actually roll back. Mayor Chandler this year is looking at our budget, considering that maybe a roll forward would be wise. And so state law requires extensive advertising for that. So we put advertising out. However, I don't think there's a lot of support there from the city council, so I don't think it's something that's going to move forward.
So you think he might even just withdraw it?
We have to vote on our millage rates every year anyway, so I would be surprised if we actually vote on the roll forward. I think that we'll probably just vote on renewing what we're currently at.
Now, explain what he was proposing to use the money for, because I think it was a pay raise for city workers, which a lot of folks will say we desperately need.
Yeah, so it's not for a new pay raise. It was to help make sure that we have plenty of funding for the pay raises we did last year. So last year, you know, we did robust pay raises that cost the city over about $5.5 million to do. However, looking over our budget numbers so far this year, we're 17% over budget in our revenues, meaning we're generating more revenue than we expected. We're 8% under budget on our expenses, and sales tax is up 4% over last year. So right now, the city is bringing in more money, both via sales tax and all of the different revenue streams that we have, that I just don't know that rolling property millages forward right now is wise.
And explain why you don't think it's a good idea.
You know, we just went up on some of our sanitation and water rates from a water rate study that was done. Our sanitation fund has been going into the red for the last 5 years. So we really had to solidify those two enterprise funds, because by state law, enterprise funds have to be self-sustaining and support themselves. So we had to go up on those rates. And so because of that, I just don't know that we hit taxpayers up for additional monies per month. You know, everybody feels like they're taxed to death, they're fed to death. That's certainly not something that we want to do. And look, I'm a proponent of if the government needs money to operate, like we've got to build roads, we've got to mow the grass, we've got to pay our city employees. But we don't need to overtax and take more than we need. And right now, if we're bringing in plenty of revenue, there's really just no need to tax more. And so, we're going to probably stay. I feel confident that I'm not the only one who feels like this roll forward is a bad idea. So I feel good that Bossier City taxpayers don't have to worry about their property taxes going up.
There was a little bit of a kerfuffle on how this was put out. It didn't come from the council, it came from the mayor, and it's typically not been handled that way before. Explain why there was a little bit of a skirmish in how this was handled.
Yeah, sure. So every year when we vote on the millages, that's always sponsored by the finance director and the administration. However, there's usually more robust talks between the administration and the council leading up to that. Like I said, we have to vote on our millages because the tax assessor needs to know what to assess properties at. So he's waiting on us to send an ordinance. And because of all the state guidelines as far as advertising, it needed to get out last Wednesday to be able to meet all those deadlines. My point of contention with the mayor's office is, look, we had a city council meeting on that Tuesday. He had access to all seven of us, and he should have at least told us we're considering this. Just so you know, the notice is going out tomorrow in case you get any calls or questions. I tell you what, I was in Lake Charles last week for the LMA convention, and my phone starts blowing up. Hey, what are we doing about taxes? And I had no idea what they were talking about. And so that was a little frustrating for me, and I think for all my colleagues to start fielding calls from members of the media to see it on social media and not have a clue what anybody was talking about. That was a little frustrating.
So a lack of communication from the mayor on this point particularly.
Yeah, look, raising taxes is always going to be a sensitive topic, right? And sometimes it has to be done. I think as council president, at the very least, I should have known so I could have been prepared. Because, as council president, you're the point person that a lot of the media is going to for comments from the council. And so it would have been nice, at least as the council president, to have been informed that this was coming. But unfortunately, it wasn't. And, we're going to have to do better with our communication.
Have you reached out to the mayor since you've heard about this?
I have, and look, I've had talks with his entire staff as well. They've explained their position on it. I went back and watched some of the council meetings from last year when we were talking about the budget and maybe the need in 25 to roll forward. It's interesting. Councilman Williams, who was the president last year, was out during those budget meetings, so I was actually as vice president chairing those meetings. And I went back and watched, and I made a statement at the time. Look, I hear the administration is interested in possibly rolling taxes forward next year. I don't necessarily know that we can do that. We can get creative. We can find additional ways to fund our pay raises, and that'll be something that we address next year. And so I made that statement last year. Here we are. I'm sticking true to that. I don't think that there's a need at this time to raise taxes. Like I said, sometimes you're going to have to do it. And if you do it unnecessarily, people never trust you that you need the money when you actually need it. Mm-hmm. So we got to, taxpayers should take solace in knowing that we're being wise with your tax dollars. We don't need it right now, so we're not going to ask for it.
I have seen social media posts from Deborah Ross, Vince Maggio, several of your colleagues on the council saying that I'm definitely a no on rolling forward the millage. So does it appear that when this gets to you, it's dead on arrival?
Yes, it appears that way. Look, I think almost every city councilman has made a public statement on this. We even had a town hall last night at the Shady Grove Rec Center, and well attended, over 90 people in attendance. And this question came up, and I answered the question with the CAO, the assistant city attorney, the mayor's executive assistant, and the PIO all sitting in attendance. The city council has no appetite to do this roll forward. So if the message wasn't relayed through all of the different statements that have been put out,
through some of the internal communications. It was definitely, I think, received last night in a town hall that the council just doesn't have an appetite for this right now.
Bossier City Council President Chris Smith, you mentioned that revenues are fine right now, but what about next year? What if some of these revenues aren't fine and you find you've got a shortfall? Where does the money come from at that point?
Yeah, so that's a great question. Since 2019, Bossier City has steadily seen sales taxes increased year over year. The one anomaly was last year, but we still had our other revenue streams outside of sales tax still outweighed our expenses. So we have been saving money pretty consistently since 2019. I think our general fund balance has somewhere in the ballpark of around $50 million. That pretty much funds these pay raises for the next 6-7 years, assuming we generate no additional money. So Bossier City's in a great position. We have a very healthy general fund balance that is there should we ever need it. I don't anticipate we're going to need it. Looks like this year we're going to end the year in a surplus and add more money to that general fund balance. So, you know, it just doesn't feel like that's a concern right now, but obviously we set these millage rates every year, so we can always look in the future, but just right now and really the foreseeable future, I just don't see it as a mechanism that we need to utilize.
In our last minute, and I didn't warn you about this, so I apologize in advance, any new news on the boardwalk?
No, there is not. I talked with Mr. Slaughter, who is the general manager there, about, 2 weeks ago. We were talking about getting a formal committee put together that's going to have a few city stakeholders, a few community stakeholders, maybe the Bossier Chamber. I know that Pastor Hagler at the Simple Church is very, very invested in the Simple Church. So we were talking about all these different people that we want to put into a formal committee that's going to be a steering committee for the Louisiana Boardwalk. I told him, hey, give me this first month of getting some of these new council members up to speed and let's get that kicked off. So I think that's something we're going to start this fall. Obviously, Pickler is deep in construction right now. They're anticipating early to mid next year to be open. And there are a few restaurants that I know that they're in talks with that are they're negotiating leases with, and a few letters of intent have been put in. So, yeah, there is a lot of movement out there. Nothing concrete yet that we don't know, but I'm excited to get this steering committee started. That way we can really have some more hands-on involvement.
Chris Smith,
Bossier City Council President, thanks for your time, sir. Let's stay in
touch.
Absolutely.
Y'all have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
You too. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Ruben, oh, Ruben. Sure miss you being here.
Ruben's asleep. He ain't hearing you.
I know.
Promise.
Maybe it'll get to him, though, and he'll feel bad and start coming back tomorrow.
Economic Development Committee of the Caddo Parish Commission met yesterday, and pickleball was the primary topic. And we got an email that was forwarded to us from one of our listeners and a local voter who said, is there any way the public could vote on this pickleball proposal? And that's a hard no. That you know, they'd have to call an election, and I mean, it would be a big ordeal, big expense to call an election to.
Is that because it's revenue bonds? I mean, why wouldn't the voters get?
Well, it's not something that voters have to approve. You know, if you do a bond issue that raises your taxes on your home, or it indebts the city on something, this is a different, and I don't speak the language, so I don't, but please, I'm speaking out of turn. A revenue bond is a different animal. So, but no, there's no plan to put that. They could put it on the ballot for referendum. Let's see if the people want it. And if they want it, we'll go with it. If they don't, we'll say no. But no, it's not something the parish could do. I just think the parish, they made a little bit of a marketing faux pas in this.
Little bit.
I think this should have been billed as a park.
It's a huge park. Two soccer fields.
Yeah.
Walking trails.
Mm-hmm. 500 spaces for cars to park. And I say use that parking lot for, you know, when you build the parking lot, put like Foursquare, paint Foursquare, paint hopscotch, paint, you know, whatever you have. Put maybe some basketball goals out there on the parking lot. But if it were billed as a park for Southeast Shreveport, because we all know that's the one district in Shreveport that doesn't have a city or parish park.
And Caddo Parish parks are revered nationwide
being
top quality parks.
Absolutely. And you're getting a lease on the land for, you know, pennies.
Yeah.
And you essentially, you'll be able to have a monster park for residents in that area that have not had a city park.
We spoke with John Atkins, our Caddo Parish Commissioner, earlier this morning, and I told him, Aaron, I think this is a no-brainer. I think this is absolutely something we need to get behind and take advantage of. Again, look at Omaha. I wonder what their reaction was when city leaders said, we want to build a huge baseball stadium here,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to bring in tournaments. I wonder if there were cave people then.
But, and I'll be a little bit of a caver today, because I went today and I did a little research. How much does it cost to build a pickleball court? And if you just Google it, it'll come up and it'll say between $25,000 and $50,000. So I put that $50,000 max in and I multiplied it times 19 and you come up with $950,000 to build 19 pickleball courts. But. That doesn't include the stadium, the seating, the parking, the covers, the walking trail. It doesn't include
soccer fields. It's much more than just pickleball.
But you still have to raise the question of, is it the best use of those revenue bonds? And are we pretty certain the money will come back in? Because revenue bonds can't be used for roads and infrastructure and that and pay raises or any of that. You can only use it for something that generates revenue. And so I say you build this as a brand new park for Southeast Shreveport that has a pickleball component that will pay for itself.
Right.
And if you bill it that way, it's a game changer for a lot of people. They'll say, oh, it's a park for an area that doesn't have a park? I'm down with that now.
Right.
And pickleball's going to end up paying for it? Go for it. I just, the marketing on this needs to be flipped, and they need to bill it right, and I think more people will come on board.
I agree.
And we'll have to see. But, I mean, to the commissioners who are opposing it because they don't like the location, please tell me a neighborhood in another part of the area that doesn't have a park. This is an area that does not have a park. Not a city park, not a parish park. Please consider if that was your district.
Right.
That had no park. And you'd be screaming bloody murder.
And as John Atkins said, this is also an area that pays a disproportionate amount of the city taxes.
You bet.
And parish taxes.
You bet they do.
So
you bet.
I think this is a no-brainer, and I hope they follow through on
that. Absolutely. Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser is going to join us tomorrow, and we're going to ask him about our pickleball park. The governor supports it. I'm sure Billy does, too.
Well, okay. Will the state jump in and fund any of it?
Let's get some money from Billy tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.